personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I'm cold like
Clay, Chase Claypool posted something on Twitter. Here's what Chase Claypool said, and I quote, "I was the first one in my family to go and finish college. I graduated from one of the most prestigious universities in the world. I bought both my parents brand new cars at the age of 21. At the age of 22, I bought my family and I a house. Losing? Still never heard of her," unquote. That's because last year Claypool posted, "Losing? Never heard of her." And since then, the Steelers are 2-8. And some fans have called him out on that. And since Claypool lost that argument, well then, AB Jr. Jr. changed the argument. But listen, and I quote, another quote. "Every person who is a multimillionaire has bought a car and or a house for their parents. Every single one. It's the millionaire version of wanting a medal for taking out the trash," unquote. And you know who said that? A millionaire said that to me about Claypool. I wish I could tell you who. Yo, AB Jr. Jr., and this goes for you too, AB Jr., Juju. Catch more balls. Win more games. Stay more dedicated to your craft. You got a lot, sure, but you're not really earning it right now. And guess what?
You just made the list!
The list brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Count on a name you can trust. Dial 412-367-0815 for all your plumbing needs. And I'm sorry. Not only do I not care that Juju bought that woman's groceries, which has gone viral, I think the whole thing was a setup, just like his bike didn't really get stolen. Like that freelance journalist, the pretend media guy, like he just happened to be there again when Juju bought the groceries. Let me quote the anonymous millionaire again. I quote, "The chances of a multimillionaire athlete either shopping for his own groceries rather than having an assistant do it with practice, travel, downtime, etc., or having food delivered via a sports nutrition company is absurd, and the chances of someone forgetting their wallet is slim to none. But regardless, why is this huge news?" Unquote. And I wish I could tell you who said it, but it's definitely somebody you know and somebody you love. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. You know what I got to cut an ad for? I can't wait. I do like doing ads because they pay me handsomely, but it's a bit of a drag. I love the sponsors, but I'm doing an ad for GetGo, the Pilgrim. Turkey on a bun. Not turkey, Thanksgiving dinner, all of it on a bun. It is awesome. I got to get Go to get more invested in this show because I am simpatico with GetGo. I am at one with GetGo. I was out at their test kitchen with Mikey and Big Bob a few months back. It was awesome. Let's go to Josh in the car. Josh, you're on with Double M.
Hey, yo, what up, mate?
Yo, what up?
Hey, I have the same kind of concern that you did with the Penguins goaltending here in this first couple games of the preseason, and I was curious if you think that the Penguins might ever reacquire Marc-Andre Fleury.
Goodbye.
After, you know, him.
Goodbye. We're not going to talk about that anymore until he hits free agency. We're not going to talk about the Penguins getting Fleury. Well, maybe we got to it at the trade deadline if Chicago's out of it and the Penguins aren't, but that ship has sailed and sunk. It's boring, bad radio. Let's go to James in Tampa. James, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. What's up, brother?
What up, man?
Hey, man, I just got to tell you because you posted about it, and I just turned it on. So this point thing on ESPN, this new hockey show, they are doing like this awesome blend of old hockey and new hockey.
Well, they are now, and I'm not sure I want to talk about a show that's on right now against me. What else you got?
No worries. I understand completely. I was just saying because it's fascinating. All right, so listen, here's the deal. You were talking about the Penguins, everything with Yoey. That was an awesome interview, and everything totally understood. But here's the thing. We're talking about POJ, and we're talking about when Crosby and Malkin are hurt, and we're talking about third-line wingers and all this stuff, and you just hit the nail on the head. They didn't get a goalie, Jari is still the goalie.
I have no problem with Jari coming back. I have a problem with Casey DeSmith being his backup. I have a problem with a veteran alternative not in the mix. I have a problem with another guy who could and has been an NHL starter being available. But they really do love Casey DeSmith, and it would not shock me, James, if they turned to Casey DeSmith in the early going if Jari falters.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they might turn to him. I just think of it in terms of if they do end up making the playoffs, how can they actually win a round for the first time in 4 years? And I think neither of them are going to be able to accomplish that. So that's my concern.
Well, Casey DeSmith is a good backup. He's okay to have as a backup if your starter is a nailed-on, legitimate, number one NHL starting goaltender. Tristan Jarry isn't. So when I say they needed to have better than DeSmith as the backup, that's not a knock on DeSmith. It's a knock on Jarry. Let's go to Chris in Pittsburgh. Chris, you're on with Double M.
So my question is about the upcoming Steelers and Broncos game. And I feel like the Broncos are one of those, especially with Drew Locke as their quarterback, I feel like they're one of those sneaky bad teams that could beat us.
No question. And I think either with Bridgewater or Locke, it's a winnable game for Denver, but I think it's a winnable game for Pittsburgh, too. And it's at home, and they got to win it. They just got to win it.
Yeah, I believe the Broncos are like 3-1 or something like that.
They're 3-1, but their wins came against teams that after 3 weeks hadn't yet won a game.
Last year's Steelers on Instagram. I've seen comparisons to
Yeah, because the Steelers beat a bunch of bummy teams early, but I don't want to leave the Steelers off the hook. I was on Stan's show today, and Stan implied, well, they had a tough schedule to start. Last year they had an easy schedule. And I'm like, Stan, they didn't have a tough schedule. You can't lose to the Raiders and Bengals at home. You can't.
Yeah, that's...
If they were 2-2, I'd be happy. We all figured they'd lose at Buffalo and at Green Bay. They won at Buffalo. But then to lose at home to Vegas and Cincinnati and to get manhandled, to get pummeled by your old punching bag, Cincinnati, that did not bode well for what's going to happen from here on out.
So with all being said, Mark, who do you think wins that game?
Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh wins. Okay. Thank you for the call. Okay, here are those odd shark numbers. Aaron Rodgers is plus 200 to start the first game next year for the Steelers at quarterback. Mason Rudolph is plus 400. Mason Rudolph's a real good bet at plus 400. I might have to get some money down on that. The idea that Rodgers is going to play for the Steelers next year because he got lured into kissing Mike Tomlin's ass on the Pat McAfee show by McAfee, a man who knows how to pull a work. I mean, come on. I have yet to hear one good reason from anybody why Aaron Rodgers would want to play for the Steelers next year behind that O-line. Let's go to Russ in Mount Lebanon. Russ, you're on with Double M.
Hi, Mark. I think the Penguins should not make the playoffs, get the lottery pick, get a chance to be in the lottery. And
yeah, they're not going to try to do that. They're not going to tank. They don't have a bad enough team to tank.
Well, they can be bad enough so they get in the lottery. Anyhow, at least
they don't have a bad enough team to tank.
Well, the East.
You're right. They should try to lose. They should lose every game and get a lottery pick. So you're suggesting that they should get a lottery pick. Is that right? They'd be better off with a lottery pick.
Well, they have nothing.
You're right. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's what they need to do. They need to get that lottery pick, no matter what it takes. You're totally 100% right. Anything else?
Well, I would give a shot at it.
Anything else?
They're not going to win.
Anything else?
That's it. I mean, that's what I
got. Okay, goodbye. You know what? If Sid was out for the season and Gino was out for the season, I'd say, yeah, tank. They don't have a good enough team to tank. See, that's the problem with tanking. For one thing, with the lottery, it offers no guarantees. Thank God there wasn't a lottery when the Penguins tanked in 84. But to tank, you've got to be a clear-cut team that will succeed in tanking. If the Penguins tanked and didn't make the playoffs and drew no fans and got a crappy pick in the lottery anyway, the whole thing will have been counterproductive. That's one thing the lottery does. It discourages tanking because, especially with hockey. In basketball, if you tank and get a high pick, chances are that guy can come in and play right away. With hockey past the first two or three picks, there is no guarantee of immediate help. Let's go to Ken in Beaver County. Ken on with Double M.
Well, Mr. Madden, good to talk to you as always. And thankfully, Eddie Johnston knew what he was doing in 1984. But here's my Steelers comment. Should they just write this year off and try and get a new quarterback next season?
How can you write this year off after four games, bro?
No, actually, you can't, but I'm looking 2 months down the road. So I'm sorry, a little premature comment, perhaps.
If I'm sure you've dealt with premature whatever.
I think
if they're 1-6, they should probably play Rudolph.
I agree with that.
If they're 1-6, it's over. Ben should know it's over. Figure out a way that he's hurt and can't play and put Rudolph in there. But I think Rudolph will be the starting quarterback next year for sure.
I kind of agree with you on that. I'm about to read a biography of Chuck Knoll to steal his lines. The Steelers' problems are many, and they are great. Yeah.
You got that right. Let's go to Russ on the road. Russ, you're on with Double M.
Yeah, hey, Mark. I was calling because you were talking earlier about, like, when they pull these pitches out early in these baseball games.
Right.
I go to work every morning at 6:30 in the morning, and I was willing to stay up and watch that Boston and that Yankee game. And then when the Boston pulls their pitcher out, because he gives out one home run and he gives a bleeder freaking single.
71 pitches. He was dominating, and they pulled him after 71 pitches because they're worried about the next game and use the bullpen and go by the book and yada, yada. That's why I don't watch baseball. Bro, I haven't watched a baseball game all the way through on TV in probably 7 or 8 years. I wanted to watch that Game 6. Was that last year's World Series between Tampa and L.A.? Yeah. Or was that 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago after the 60-game. Wait, or was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. When they pulled Snell after six innings, I said, oh, F this, and I switched off. You know what they're doing? They have sacrificed entertainment. They've obliterated entertainment at the altar of efficiency, and now there's no stories. Now there's nothing compelling. It's all very sanitary and cliched. It's done by rote. Anybody can manage, and I'm not interested. I legitimately am not interested. In fact, what I'm rooting for, Russ, do you know the baseball CBA is up at the end of this season?
Yeah.
I'm rooting for no more baseball again ever. Oh, it would be more glorious than D-Day. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I don't want to turn on the game to see the ace pitcher who's mowing him down pulled after five innings. Just don't want to watch that. And you know what? If they think that's a better way to manage baseball, again, entertainment sacrifice for efficiency, if that's what they want to do, if they want the games to all last over 3 hours, average time this past year for 9-inning game was 3 hours, 10 minutes, and 7 seconds. If that's what they want, they could want that. It's their game. I don't have to watch. I don't have to be interested. I don't, and I'm not. 105.9 The X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, hey.
Hey, what's going on, Mark?
Hi.
Super genius. It's a good buddy. Ask Shape from Asher BMW.
Woo! The X at 105.9.
Steelers in Denver Sunday. Steelers are favored by just one. They're playing Denver, who ain't very good. Not as good as their 3-1 record anyway. And they're favored by one at home. And I get it. Denver's 3-1 and the Steelers have not looked good. They're 1-3. But I do think the Steelers are a better team than Denver. Although, here's something weird to think about. Something weird to think about. And it feels like we're all, you know, piling on with Ben, but you have to say what's going on, and he's not played well this season. Who would you rather have a quarterback right now, Teddy Bridgewater or Ben? I'd say Teddy Bridgewater. Who'd you rather have right now a quarterback, Drew Lock or Ben, in case Bridgewater's hurt? I'd say Drew Lock. Who would have thought it would come to this after just four games, where you think their season might be done, and you know it's done if they lose at home to Denver? Who would have thought it would come to this? How'd you figure that game's going to go? I think it's a crapshoot. I think it's a coin flip. Two anemic teams offensively. Both teams have good defenses. Denver might be a little healthier on defense. Boy, that TJ Watt playing at 80% or whatever it is that with the groin, I never thought it would affect that much, but I guess I should have known. You're just used to seeing TJ Watt run rampant. And now you're seeing him pick his spots. He's still playing okay. Hey, one thing I've never said about T.J. Watt is that he's not a great player. He's a terrific player. But they need more than what they're getting from him. I mean, look at those two sacks at Green Bay. One was a trip and one was a give-up. They need more than what they're getting from Watt, and I'm not sure he's physically able to handle that. Denver's defense ranks fourth in yards, second in points. Steelers' offense ranks 28th. That don't sound good. Steelers' offense has 6 touchdowns in 4 games. That does not sound good. And what happens if they lose? How do the players react if they lose? How do the players react? Because if they're 1-4, they know their season's over. They know they don't have the team and especially don't have the offense to run off like 7 wins in 8 games, which is what you need to do. Think about it. Say they're 1-4. Say they split the next 8. Well, then you're 5-8, and you're done. You have to reel off like 7 out of 8 if they lose against Denver. Do you think they have the team that can do that? I know hope springs eternal, but this ain't that kind of team. Like back in 2005, when they won 8 games in a row to win the Super Bowl, and when every game down the stretch in regular season was must win, they had to win every game, all 4, and they did to grab the 6th seed, and then battled their way on the road, 3 playoff games, from the wild card and won the Super Bowl. That's crazy to think that could happen, right? But when you looked at that team, even back then on paper, you thought, yeah, that could happen. That's the kind of team they got. That's the kind of personnel they have. That's where the Steelers were at in 2005. You know where they're at now? In the toilet. They're not going to rally. Their only way to stay competitive is to bleed it out. And to bleed it out starts with winning Sunday at home against Denver, and then beating Seattle the next week at Heinz Field. You know Seattle's going to be favored, don't you? Seattle, in 1 week, no matter what happens against Denver, Seattle's going to be favored. And then the bye week, and then at Cleveland with no Vaseline. We've been talking about the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. Are you ready to reconsider the value, the wisdom of the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade? Not did they get enough, but have they done enough after having gotten Minkah? Where's Minkah at now? What if they don't have Minkah back in 2019 and they go 5-11 instead of 8-8 and then they draft Justin Herbert? This stuff where every game's important, well, like I've often said, and it's what kills the Philly Flyers. Finish middle, draft middle, stay middle. Have you reevaluated that Minkah trade in your mind at all? I know you like Minkah, cool name, cool hair. Made some plays for a while. Now he just plays center field. But he's only a safety. And they finished 8-8 the first year with him. They lost in the first round of the playoffs the second year with him. And now things are going to get worse. That's not a good trade now. And you might say hindsight's 20/20. Who said it wasn't a good trade then? Me, Mark Madden, that's who, the super genius, with a tested IQ of 166. But not a big enough celebrity to be at a celebrity hockey game. 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
We're all gonna rock to the rules I make.
Double M, big fan.
How you like it now, bitch?
The X at 105.9.
I am just incredulous that this Odd Shark website says Aaron Rodgers is the favorite to start game one at quarterback for the Steelers next year. No one has yet come up with one good reason why Aaron Rodgers would want to come to Pittsburgh and play behind that offensive line with a number one receiver who won't be Devontae Adams. If you come up with one reason why he'd want to do that despite him flirting with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers on the Pat McAfee show, and boy, did McAfee steer that conversation the way he wanted it to go. Pat McAfee in his segments with Aaron Rodgers, sometimes Pat proves how bright he is and how bright Aaron Rodgers is not. But I figured out why all y'all want to talk about Rodgers being the Steelers quarterback, because it provides you a light at the end of the tunnel. It provides you a way to pretend that next year's going to be better, that the Super Bowl window isn't closed, when the reality is the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train. And the Super Bowl window not only isn't still open, it's been closed for quite some time. Their last best chance was when they had A.B. and Bell. And Ben was kind of still in his prime, but A.B. and Bell effed that up Bell because he tanked that game, refused to play when he was only slightly hurt, and AB was just AB. The good and the bad, but at the end it turned UGLY. You ain't got no alibi. You suck. Yeah, yeah, you suck. But why talk about that? We could talk about Terrell Pryor going to jail. At least that's a possibility, it looks like. His girlfriend, Shalaya Briston, she stabbed Pryor twice in the chest back when. Oh, no, wait, more than twice, it says here. And he actually flatlined twice. He was, like, dead for a couple seconds. So Pryor took her back. She stabbed him almost to death. And he took her back. And now he's going to jail because they were at a club. She didn't want to leave. He wanted to leave, so he threw pumpkins at her. Okay, she stabbed him, no jail time. He threw pumpkins. He's going to jail. I want to know what kind of club would have pumpkins. And what size pumpkins were they that he could easily pick them up and throw them? Then again, he got those big quarterback hands. And I'm looking at a picture here of Shalaya Briston. She's hot, but she ain't stabbing hot. She ain't hot enough that I take her back after she stabs me and makes me flatline twice. She ain't that hot. Terrell Pryor's done better. In fact, he did better with one in the bathroom of a place I go to with the door locked, but everybody outside listening and knowing what's going on. That girl smoking freaking hot. Let's go to Kenny in New York. Kenny, you're on with Double M.
See, I always hated the Minka trade because I think it reflects the Steelers' psychology of not looking forward to the future because they traded a first-round pick, which they could have used for something beneficial.
Well, by the same token, that's the first time they ever traded a first-round pick dating back to before Bradshaw.
But I think it really reflects their inability to accept the fact that they have to go into a full rebuild, and I know that it goes against their
psychology. They will never accept that, Kenny. But still, it was odd for them to trade a first-round pick again because they hadn't done it since, I want to say, 1968. But you tell me, what did they gain from the Minka trade?
They gained a momentary beneficiary to a season that really didn't mean anything.
But it wasn't a momentary benefit. They didn't make the playoffs. It doesn't matter how good Minka plays if they don't make the playoffs.
I'm not saying it meant it, but what the perception that the fans thought of it.
Well, you see, the fans are different. The fans just want to buy a number 39 jersey and pretend they're having sex with Minka. The trade got to be judged not by how the individual performs once he gets here, but does it benefit the team? And like I said, if they had not made that trade, they might have been able to draft Justin Herbert. Probably not, but they might have been able to. I mean, we're fantasizing about Aaron Rodgers coming here at 38 for one season or whatever, whereas they could have had Justin Herbert. And who would you rather have right now, Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, you suppose that hypothesis, and I agree with you, but do you think even at that point they would have drafted a quarterback knowing that Ben was going to come back at that point? Don't you think that Ben would have been offended?
I don't think it would have mattered at that point. I think after elbow surgery, they could have justified drafting Justin Herbert.
Really? Even with all the
when
way
Ben
that
got elbow surgery, that should have changed the way everything was looked at, including how Ben had to look at things. I think if Ben is mad because he's not calling the plays and Matt Canada has too much control over him, Ben's unable to look in the mirror and see that he sucks.
Well, that's more of a reflection upon him and the way...
No, it's a reflection on any great athlete, and Ben is a great athlete. True. They just don't realize it, but then someone has to tell them. And when they're told, they have to listen. And I don't think he is.
But do you think he'll ever get to that point where he would want to listen?
I think he's gone next year no matter what. And I think this year is a waste already, so it don't matter.
Good day, sir.
I said good day. And, you know, it seems like I'm piling on Ben. I'm not. I'm a big Ben guy. He's a Hall of Famer. If it wasn't for him, this town would be stuck on 4 Super Bowls and reminiscing about the 70s. But he's done. And if he's clashing with Canada, you know, it's just insane because he's not looking at how he's playing. And if he doesn't think that him and Cannon are a good fit, and that's why he's playing bad, then okay, give him one game to call all the plays. And if he still plays bad, bench him. If he wants control of the offense, give him control of the offense. Maybe he's owed that given his stature and his tenure. But if he gets control for a game or two and it fails, then bench him. Make him put up something to get control. Because it makes no sense for him to have control if it fails, as it's failed under his control for quite some time now. Hey, this is real talk. This is how it really is. I get tired of people on Twitter saying, well, you're protecting your boy Ben. Did that right now sound like I was protecting my boy Ben? I don't think it sounded like that. At any rate, now it's time to ask Mark anything. 412-333-WXDX. They had a big business meeting today here at iHeartMedia, but whenever they have meetings, they buy everybody food. Whenever they have meetings with the talent, well, we're just the talent. So it don't matter if we get freebies, although I certainly do get enough freebies. But I want to add, left behind for us meager talent, a big thing of salad from Panera. I got to tell you, salad from Panera, monstrous. When I go to Giant Eagle, and I'm not blaming Giant Eagle, but supermarket lettuce, it's so hit or miss. It's so hit or miss. Anybody know where I can get really good lettuce consistently? Is there some kind of gourmet lettuce store? Maybe Juju would pay for my gourmet lettuce. That would be terrific. So if I can get gourmet lettuce somewhere, tweet me, at Mark Madden X. Tweet me where I can get my gourmet lettuce. But I'm set for at least two nights because Panera, with healthy stuff, never misses. You know what the one thing I don't like about Panera is they have all the healthy stuff and then they have the bakery. So I'll go in there intending to get a salad and I'll walk out with 9 cinnamon crunch bagels. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on with Mark.
Yes, Mark. Do you think the Steelers knew this was a throwaway season and they let Ben come back just so that they kind of had
You know, Matt Williamson thinks that. Matt Williamson, our football guru, he absolutely thinks that. I'm not dismissing it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Time to ask Mark anything. Now Mikey from the morning show on KISS, he's talking about throwing pumpkins. He says he can throw a small pumpkin 40 yards. 120 feet? That's a throw from short right field? Yeah, he could do it. I think he could do it. Bryce, our goofy tech guy, he wants to bet him he can't. I think Mikey should just drill him right between the eyes with the pumpkin. And not from 40 yards either, like from point blank. 412-333-WXDX. Ask Mark anything. 412-333-WXDX.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Double S, big fan, man.
Thanks.
If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself? I would. I'd be delicious.
Ditto.
VX at 105.9.
It's time to ask Mark anything. Dial 412-333-WXDX. Can't wait to dig into this Panera salad. That's what my life's become. It used to be about wings and pizza, and now it's about Panera salad. But you take what you can get and then live it up on vacation, I suppose. I've come to realize the best time for me to lose weight is New Year's. New Year's till the end of Penguin season. I just do good then. I haven't gained weight back, like I've said, during my vacations, but I haven't lost anymore. I'm down about, this year I'm down about 35 or so, 36. And since my all-time high for weight, I am down about 65. I was approaching livestock at one point. Time to ask Mark anything. It's brought to you by your local Honda dealer. Let's go to Eric in Pittsburgh. Eric, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. I was just wondering if the Penguins miss out on the playoffs this year, what do you think their offseason looks like for the upcoming offseason?
I think there'll be a ton of change if they miss the playoffs. I think there's going to be change regardless of whether they make it or not, Eric. I think they're going to lose Malkin and Letang to free agency at the end of the season because I think those guys will be expected to take a hometown discount to stay, and I don't think either will be able to. Will be willing to, rather. And I just think that it'll be the season when Hextall and Burke make the team theirs. I think they're giving the core one more year because, you know, two-thirds of the core is going to leave. via free agency, but I think the real change will come in the next offseason.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's go to Jimmy and Scott Dill. Zimmy, rather. Zimmy, you're on with Double M.
Mark, do you think there was ever any legitimacy to the Steelers acquiring Aaron Rodgers? Or was it just a big goof, like I believe?
I think there are people who think it's legitimate. I know that, you know, Rodgers flirted with Pittsburgh and Tomlin and the Steelers in this great blue-collar town that I love so much on the Pat McAfee show. But again, the one thing nobody can do, Zimmy, is tell me a legitimate reason why Aaron Rodgers would want to come to Pittsburgh to play behind that offensive line and with a number one receiver who's not Devontae Adams.
Exactly. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, Zimmy, don't forget, I'm at Carson's Tavern in Scottsdale for the Steeler game Sunday. That'll be great. I'm paying tribute to Ben. The first 10 people who show up wearing Ben jerseys get a licensed Steelers hat. Licensed. It's official, like Stifler said in the movie Goon, the Angus mascot. It's official. Let's go to Pete in Heidelberg. Pete, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. What do you think the odds are that Jari pulls a Flurry? And he was brilliant early on in his first year or two, but made a bunch of mistakes and then becomes great, because I think that's the Pens' best chance to win.
Becomes great this year?
I'd like to know.
I think Jari's an average goalie at his peak. I just don't see it. I think he's too lackadaisical and not very bright.
10%?
5. Maybe. Let's go to Mike in North Park. Mike, you're on with Double M.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, what's the most silly promotion or embarrassing commercial you ever had to give?
Well, I've never done a live show at a gas station at 5:30 a.m., so I haven't hit rock bottom. Recently, I was told to do a read. I was told to do the exact same read two different ways. The exact same commercial taping. I have no idea what that means. So the second time I read it, I just did it real silly, and the advertiser loved it. I'm also doing ads for ED, like to cure ED, erectile dysfunction. I'm not sure if that's embarrassing at my age. I'm not going to tell you if I need it or not, but every little bit helps,
I guess.
Oh, come Thank on. You. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Leaves the line open at 412-333-WXDX. Let's go to Evan in the car. Evan, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Double M. I think I may be in the minority in this, but I believe the Fitzpatrick trade is not that bad. And bear with me here.
No, it's not a crippling trade. I'm not outraged, but nor is it the cure-all that was envisioned when they made it. It didn't get into the playoffs in 2019. They didn't win a playoff game last year, and he's only a safety. You know, the trade has to make your team achieve more, and this one hasn't so far.
Correct, but you got to think about it. At the time, we had no secondary. No secondary.
Oh, okay, but what good did it do?
And our offense was good.
Okay, you see, you didn't pay attention to a word I said before. Okay, for one thing, they almost have no secondary now, even with him.
Correct.
What will they achieve as a team because they got Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Well, here's my question. Do you think
Answer mine first.
I'm sorry.
What will they achieve as a team because they got Minkah Fitzpatrick?
They didn't achieve well. I think they got more wins that season, but it made our defense being our huge weakness to our defense not being our only
Okay, strength. You see, you're just ignoring what I'm saying. What good is it going to do them? Where's it going to get them this year?
You're correct.
What will they have won by the time Minkah Fitzpatrick finishes his tenure here? And they might have got Justin Herbert. I mean, they probably wouldn't have, but they might have. They just might have. What would you rather have, Minkah Fitzpatrick or Justin Herbert?
We both know there was no way in hell they're.
Oh, I disagree. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick had a phenomenal season after joining the Steelers. They could have easily dropped from 8-8 to 5-11.
That's what I was thinking. I think they could have, they definitely would have lost more games if they didn't get Minka. But do you think DeCastro and Pouncey retiring surprised them? Because it looks like they're trying to gear
DeCastro
up.
DeCastro retiring more definitely runs. Surprised them.
Because if you, as I don't think many quarterbacks can do well with this line, but it looked like we were gearing up. Okay, what
well, if DeCastro's still there, the line still stinks. DeCastro wasn't good down the stretch of his career, but where DeCastro screwed him was he just didn't make up his mind. You know, he strung him along. I don't think in any nefarious fashion, but that's the upshot.
I think they were gearing up for about 2-3 more seasons of Ben. Okay, our secondary was obviously our biggest hole. We brought in Joe Hayden and Minka at the time. We didn't think our line was going to be god-awful like they are. And I don't think Justin Herbert would do well with our offensive line.
But Justin Herbert would be here for 15 years. And you've got to replace Ben. You know, F Ben and his feelings back then. I mean, you know, he was fading then. I mean, what don't you understand about that? You understand they're screwed at quarterback.
You think the Steelers would do that, though? That's why I agree with you, but I don't think the Steelers at that time, they were so set on Ben and ready for him to make the
final run.
Because
they think they could win every year, and how wrong they've been and are right now. Let's go to Sydney and Carnegie. Sydney, you're on with Double M.
Hi, Mark. Big fan.
Thank you.
I wanted to know, with the wing crisis going on, or whatever it is, what is the highest price that you would pay for a dozen wings?
If I want wings, I'll pay whatever, period.
I agree with you. I have friends who won't go over $20, but I would forgo a beer.
Big Shot Bob's wings are worth any price. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, especially the Big Sexy.
You got that right, honey. I say that with all respect. By the way, somebody called with a Conneaut Lake question. I wanted to answer a Conneaut Lake question because this is Pumpkin Fest this weekend. And I can only go up for a day, but I'll be up there all day Saturday for Pumpkin Fest. And then back, of course, on Sunday to do the Steeler game. Let's go. And I got Kashmir, the Zeppelin tribute band, tomorrow night in Irwin at the Lamp Theater. And by the way, if you ever get a chance, attend a concert at the Lamp Theater. It is a wonderful venue. Let's go to Ed in Mount Pleasant. Ed, you're on with Double M.
Mark, quick question. Just sticking with the wings theme. What is in the Big Sexy wings? Like, what sauce is all in that?
Big Sexy is hot buffalo parm with ranch dust. Turn your radio down. Hot parmesan buffalo with ranch dust. And, of course, the secret ingredient is love. Or maybe dope. Let's go to Tim in Ohio. Tim, you're on with Double M.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, good. At the beginning of the show, you say I work stiff and I work heel. Is that a Irish saying? And
no, it's not an Irish saying.
What does that mean?
It means whatever you want it to be, young man. Let's go to Animal. Animal, you're on with Double M.
Hey now, Double M.
What up?
Hey now, Double M.
Hey
who
now.
Who would you pick to coach your NFL team? John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin?
John Harbaugh, no question.
Hey, now.
It's not even close. John Harbaugh is a better coach, and that's even taking into account how effective Tomlin was in the early part of his career.
Super genius is always right.
And right now, it's not even close. Right now, if you could get Mike Tomlin to coach your team for $5 and you had to pay Harbaugh $1 million, you'd pay the $1 million because he's that far in front of Tomlin as a coach and has been for quite some time. It's Panera time. Used to be pizza time and wings time and french fries time. Now it's Panera salad time. Good talk. See you out there. 105.9 The X.